Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we are talking today with Tom Dowd. He is a speaker, author, trainer, and coach of the Thomas Dowd Professional Development and Coaching Organization. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
No problem. Hey, you know, it's interesting. We're going to certainly talk about some of the books that you've written, some of the speaking you've done. But I understand after 23 years, and I say this not lightly, that you lost your job with a very large corporate client.
I did. After 23 years of being with the same company, I lost my job. What you just described, Thomas Dowd Professional Development and Coaching, I've been doing is what I like to call a paid hobby. I do it on the side for the love of it, but I had been with this financial institution for 23 years, and it was simply budget cuts. Absolutely easy. Come in, make the decision, budget cuts. And after 23 years, it becomes a little shocking because now as I continue to understand what I want to do I want to take my paid hobby to a full-time opportunity, or do I want to look for something a little bit more stable than being self-employed? Taking that to another level and being look for something for full-time employment.
You know, it's interesting, and I think we'll spend the first few minutes here talking a little bit about this experience, because you know, when somebody hears that they've lost their job for the first time, you know, I know that in the job you do, in terms of your organization as well as ours, we have people that go through an emotional shock, right? Emotional shock of, hey, I've lost my job. Tell me how that affected you.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because there's a dichotomy to this, because what I teach is interviewing, networking, resume writing, communication skills, and now I'm on the other side of it, trying to do that. But what was interesting, it was probably one of the more calming days I've ever had. And I think if you were to ask me the day before I found out, I would have said I'd probably punch a wall. But it didn't end up that way. Because what I did is I got the call, besides figuring out what I need to do next, besides calling my wife, is I thought back and self-reflected on what I had been doing for the last several years. About 5 or 6 years ago, the organization I was working with was taken over by another company. Very eye-opening to me. And I knew at that point I had done nothing to build a network. I had done nothing to talk to the people around me and understand who I was surrounded with, who can help me if something happened, except for my manager and my manager's manager. And I knew I had some work to do.
This is a big deal, because this is one of the biggest mistakes I see by most professionals that are at a company. They almost have a little safety zone. Mm-hmm. They fall into what we call the trap. They're happy with where they are, their little world, and they kind of become quiet and they don't reach out.
Yeah, there's a great book out there. It's by Keith Ferrazzi. It's called Never Eat Alone. And one of the chapters that he has in there, it really hit home with me because of the situation I'm in right now. But the chapter was, build it before you need it. And that's why I think I felt so calm. As I got the call, I called my wife. I instantly reached behind me to an inch thick folder that I had full of all the people I'd been networking with over the last 5 or 6 years, put together an email thanking everyone I crossed paths with at the company, sent that out to them, and got some great notes back, people sending me their personal information so I can get a hold of them. And then it started. It started right then and there of building my leads, using the network that I had built over time, and seeing if it would pay off. And that's what I'm right in the middle of right now, is understanding, is this network that I've built working the way that it should? And there are a lot of surprises that are in there, good and bad. And I take accountability for all of it. And when it comes to things that I needed to do better in the networking early on, I treated it as a checklist. I checked off the people I needed to talk to, and look, I did my networking. No, I didn't. I didn't build a relationship with them. And so over time, I actually went back and revisited my time with some of them and built a stronger relationship with some of them and reinvented myself with others. There were some people that had a snapshot of who I was with the company from many years ago, good, bad, or indifferent. But what they ended up doing after revisiting is they now know who I am, updated.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I mean, some of the tools you talk about, people don't think about. You might have a company laptop, a company cell phone. LinkedIn, for example, you might only have your company email address on there rather than a professional one as well, so you can't get in. You can't get into your account once they shut down your email. These are things people don't think about in terms of just being able to basic connections after you leave a job.
Yeah, when you're talking with someone, we think in terms of professional relationship. But on a lot of, I got this question the other day when I was talking to someone about interviewing. They asked me about referrals. Well, do I use referrals from 10, 15, even 20 years back? And I said, yes, absolutely. In fact, some of the referrals that I'm putting on there for my recommendations, it says manager / friend, because it had built up to that because of the relationship that we had gotten together.
When you're talking about those first steps that you're thinking about, right? Those first steps, you talk about, you reach back to the folder, you brought them forward. People then say, so what do I do now? Because, you know, it's interesting when we do outplacement at CMA, people go, okay, I've contacted all my first people and they haven't called me yet.
And those first people are the ones who care about you the most, but will probably help you the least. They're going to be the ones who are constantly checking in, but they know you too well.
That's right.
And they're the ones who you want to say, I need your help, but they're the ones who say, I only know you for this, that you're too close to them. What you want to continue to do is look for those secondary contacts. And I'll tell you to cast a broad net. I mean, I have 23 years in the financial industry. If I solely put all of my efforts into the financial industry, I'd be limiting myself. And I'd be taking a step back for what the potential is out there for my next job. You can't limit yourself. You need to know what you want to do. But you need to make sure that you're putting yourself into positions, because you don't know what you don't know.
That's true. You don't. You know, this is, you know, it's interesting. You say 23 years. We've worked with people who have been out of work, you know, after 5 years, and then some after 40 years. You know, we recently had somebody who left the employment who had never done anything since the junior year in high school at the same job, and he's 61 years old, and he lost his job. Well, that's an amazing run, right, when you think about it. But you want to talk about someone who's scared. You know, what exactly do I do for the last 3, 4, 5 years of employment, or maybe 2 years, whatever it may be? So, you know, this first step you talk about is the fact that you have to have that network.
And you probably, those 40-year folks get very comfortable with where they are. And I had the luxury, and I really do say the luxury, of having my eyes wide open 5 or 6 years ago when my company was taken over, where I started my network. I can't imagine where I would be right now if I hadn't built it. If I'm scrambling right now in desperation, sending out LinkedIn contacts, for example. I'm reaching out to the ones I already have out there, and you have an email group of people that you have, and you have that primary set of contacts. But the one question I highly recommend of anyone who is in the middle of a networking conversation is to end it every single time with, who else should I meet with? And ask for 1, 2, or even 3 names. I mean, think about that. You do that 3 times, you're talking to 10 different people.
That's right. That's right. So tell me what you think some of the immediate goals a job seeker needs to set, because I think they've worked. They typically have goals at work. They're typically looking at performance. Finding a job is a job. It is a full-time job. I tell people all the time, do you work 8 to 5? Yes. Then guess what? You're still working 8 to 5. And they kind of look at me because, you know, things happen. Hey, my wife needs you to pick up this or this at the store. And hey, I need to do this and I need to do that. No, you don't. You're still working.
Yeah, it's easy to say, I'm going to spend some time to find myself. I'm going to unwind a little bit. I received that call. I ironically had a speaking engagement that evening with Jobs for Maine grads, and I spoke to them. But after that, the next morning, starting at 7 o'clock, I've been spending on average 12-hour days looking for a job. And you have to put it in full tilt, because every day you're not, someone else is.
That's right.
And it is somewhat of a competition. I suggest we all support each other and give leads to each other that may not work for us. But we are all in a competition to get the openings that are out there. And every day that goes by, you're letting it go.
So we talked about an effective network. You talked about the folder behind you in this particular case. So how does somebody build an effective network? Not just a network, but an effective network.
That's a good question. I would say start today. Don't procrastinate. And realize it's not as hard as you think. And start to build your own routine that you're out there. I started about 5 years ago when I got the hit between the eyes. I spent 45 minutes a month doing it, meaning I'd set up an appointment. I'd spend the 30 minute appointment, and then I would spend 15 minutes beforehand understanding what questions I would want to ask to spur the conversation along. A networking conversation shouldn't be all about you, and it shouldn't be all about them. It should be a mutual conversation, but you need to have a goal in mind when you set this network. And for job seekers that are out there, understanding your primary goal is to find a job. When you're networking, your primary goal cannot be to say, find me a job, because it becomes very one-sided. It becomes very selfish in that approach. And if you're going to network with me, being on the other side of it, I need to get something out of it. So when you're networking, be prepared to have the value add proposition you can add to their organization if you're looking for a job, or ask what you can do for them in the middle of the networking. There should be reciprocity between the relationship that you're building with each other. But do it. And I would just say, you said how to start the network is get completely outside of your comfort zone. Don't just talk to a manager or your old manager or your manager's manager. Talk to people that are part of an interesting field. Diversify the field that you're looking into. Understand what your goal is going into the network. In addition to potential job seeking, there is, I want to broaden my business acumen. I want to learn about something to bring back to the people I'm working with potentially, but have a very clear goal. And then in that 15 minutes of preparation, gear your questions towards that to start the conversation.
So you've been out looking for just a little time here. What are some of the lessons you've learned so far in this job seeking process? Tell us some of the pluses, the minuses, the hits, you might say.
I'll tell you, in the network that I've built, you can't trust all the relationships that you've built and what you've assumed you have in those relationships. There are ones that are closest to me, I would have said, would have dropped everything to give me a job, are also the most silent. And that's no fault of their own. They're either worried about their own jobs, know me too well and don't have any openings and are just afraid to say it, or just not sure what to say. I called it my funeral in some places, because people would just put their head down and not know what to say. But on the other side of it, you're starting to figure out your network is the secondary and tertiary people are ones that are flooding you with propositions and leads and giving you opportunities that you never thought about. And that's what you have to think about in your network, is it's not trust what you've built. It's just understand, is it what you thought you built? Because it's probably not. And if you have the luxury right now to think about that, go back and revisit your connections and ask if they're real. Ask if they're just a check mark and you were able to get their LinkedIn connection. Great, fantastic for you. But if something ever came up, would you be able to use it? And so I've spent a lot of time revisiting that and self-reflecting. You start to see if your network is reliable, but you also can't give up. You can't sit there and say, I'm going to take that one day off, or I'm going to take 2 days off. You have to make sure that you can't build in that wind down time. You mentioned it, and this is one of those big lessons for me, and I heard it and grasped hold of it. My job is to look for a job. I have 3 little girls. They are 12, 14, and 16 years old, and daddy's got to come home and tell them that he doesn't have a job anymore. How do you tell them? And it became a very easy conversation by saying, my job is to look for a job. And to give them the confidence that I feel I've built, I'll call it an ironclad network. We'll see if it pays off. But I feel good about the people that I've built relationships with. And I feel good about the ones that I haven't, that I'm still in the process of doing that. And I'm revisiting past ones. I met with someone this morning I haven't talked to in 10 years. It was like old home week. And he's doing it out of just a gracious, giving individual who's doing it for no other reason except he said, you're a good person. I think there's something out there for you, and I want to make it happen for you. And that's where you sit there and say, that's the type of person I want to be if I'm ever on, when I'm on the other side of the networking side of it.
And we're talking with Tom Dowd, professional development and coaching, speaker, author, trainer, and coach. And we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with the one, the only, Tom Dowd. How are you, Tom?
Fantastic.
Good. Well, the first segment was great and really practical, good advice for networking and career development. And you know what? I'd love to have you back after, you know, you find your next job, and you can talk about what it took and how it was and follow you through the process.
Yeah,
that'd be a good idea.
That'd be a wonderful idea.
I'm sure the audience
would
love
to share
the
success with others because I think they need to hear that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it would be a great story to follow throughout that. So this hobby you have, this other side of your business, as we like to say, speaker, author, trainer, coach. Tell me about how you got into this transformation development area.
It was interesting. I was at work, and I had joined Toastmasters because I am painfully shy and introverted, and I say that in the current tense, the present tense. And I joined Toastmasters kidding myself, thinking that I'm just going to boost my resume. We had a dormant club. They had been around for a year, and they had never met. So I was just going to boost my resume, put it on there, and move on. Well, 3 days later, we had our first meeting. And I realized, after being told, now realize I was a communication major in college. For 18 years in a corporate environment, I was told that I had communication issues. But somewhere in my head, accountability was nowhere nearby. And I convinced myself that it was everyone else and it wasn't me. Toastmasters gave me accountability. Because I was responsible for my own learning curve, and I was responsible to tell my own stories, and then I realized over time, and I give Toastmasters an awful lot of credit for the success I've had personally and professionally, because it gave me confidence. It wasn't my communication skills, so I was right to some extent, but it was my confidence level, and I lacked it. And so I ended up just sharing all my mistakes and lessons learned with others. And I had one of the senior leaders tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, can you teach my managers how to communicate effectively? And I'm looking at myself saying, I've been told for 18 years I can't communicate, and you want me to teach your managers? Okay. And I did. And after an hour, it went extremely well. Someone else tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, can you teach my managers how to do this? And we said, sure. And they said, what else do you have? I'd love to make this a series. I said, well, I have something on networking. I've been doing interviews forever, and I know how to teach resume writing. And all of a sudden, 8 months later, we were deep into the series. It made me eligible for the National Speakers Association, something I would have never dreamed of. I had some success in Toastmasters in some of the contests. I've been a speech away from the World Semifinals twice. And I'm realizing that I knew how to talk. I was just holding back. And I think the biggest difference for me is I learned how to be me. I stopped trying to impress everyone that was out there, and I learned to be me. And by teaching and being vulnerable and sharing all this with others, people were flocking saying, hey, teach me. You know, teach me. It's okay to make mistakes, but what'd you learn from it? And that's what the both of the books are about, or the lessons that I've learned and I've been able to share with others.
So you talk about the books. First, The Transformation of Doubting Thomas, Growing from a Cynic to a Professional in the Corporate World. Tell me a little bit about that book first.
That book is based off of 20 years of lessons learned, and it teaches people how to – there's three target audiences. One is those that lead an organization. you have an organization, it's either brand new and you want to get that spark, or you have a group that's been around for a while and people just get very comfortable and used to it. And this teaches leaders how to come in and provide that spark and get people all moving in the same direction and balancing it with the satisfaction of the people. And I think from 20 plus years ago, you know this from your HR discussions, that it was a top-down approach. We're not in that world anymore. This is a relationship-driven organization that most people are trying to build right now. The second target audience is that stagnant employee, the one who's been around the block for a while, who's very comfortable where they are, but they're not sure if they want to grow. They're not even sure what their potential is. This will take them to that level. And the next group is the unemployed or newly employed. How do I get in, and how do you differentiate yourself among the masses? And this is going to do this for you. It's going to teach you how to be smarter and not have to work harder. You'll actually get more done if you do this right.
So your second book is From Fear to Success, A Practical Public Speaking Guide. You started public speaking when?
I started a little over, almost 5 years ago with Toastmasters International.
And so this fear that you talk about was the fear of actually coming out of your shell, being yourself. What's the fear?
Oh, the fear can be anything. The fear of failing, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of having words come out of my mouth I don't even know are coming out. This fear is anything. But what you start to realize is you have to define your own fear, because fear is what you create. And what we're teaching is that this fear may not even be fear itself. The fear you're thinking of getting up on stage and maybe you're getting the shakes or the sweats isn't fear. Maybe it's just adrenaline that you're excited to get your message out there. And when we talk about public speaking, we talk about lecterns and podiums and being up on stage talking to hundreds of people. I'm talking about a one-to-one conversation can be public speaking. I talk an awful lot about networking, but my network could have never been built until I had the confidence to pick up the phone and say, hey, can you help me? And that is public speaking. And that's part of the premise of this book, is that we are surrounded with public speaking opportunities, and it happens every single day.
Well, you know, this seems like a very practical guide, especially for individuals who might be even in sales or in trying to grow within an organization, a manager trying to get promoted, communication with their supervisors and subordinates. So it really does sound like a complete guide to assisting them with that.
Yeah, it's one of my Achilles heels is thinking quickly on my feet. I remember one of the first jobs I ever had, I was a caddy, and someone walks up to me and says, hey, what's up? And I sat there in complete silence. I had no idea how to answer that question. I don't know. And that type of fear sits within all of us. Well, that fast forward now, 20 plus years later, I'm sitting in business meetings and they say, Tom, what's your opinion? I thought of myself as being fairly intelligent and smart enough to answer those questions. I had all the information. I've done my homework. But I just didn't have the ability or confidence to get that information out there. Once you figure out what you need to do to prepare for these types of situations, to put yourself into these impromptu situations, I learned to think quicker on my feet, and it made me more successful. People started coming to me a lot more than they had in the past and starting to ask for more of my opinions.
When you started to think about writing a book about this information, and you're smiling already, so I know how this is, what made you decide to do it in book format? You know, you're a speaker. Why didn't you do audio?
Actually, From Fear to Success is in the middle of being edited as an audio book, and it should be out in September at some point. But it's interesting because you write down your speeches, and part of the communication issues I was having in the business world is my ability to be clear, concise, and succinct. Part of my ability to be better at that was putting it in writing and start to figure out where I was wasting my words. My economy of words became much better. In fact, one of the people who read the first draft of the book said the second half of your book was so much better than the first, because my writing became better. So I went back and I rewrote the first part. And you learn you have to write every single day. And writing gets you thinking. Thinking gets you speaking. Thinking, all of that puts these thoughts in your mind to be able to think quicker on your feet. The quick story about how I ended up writing the first book is I had been doing this work series with emerging managers and teaching them how to do interviewing, resume writing, those types of things. And so I had the series, which is a few chapters within the book. I had just lost a very big speech competition, and I ended up talking to the person who ended up winning, who adopted me as a mentor. And so we built this mentor relationship. An hour later, I win the door prize, which just happens to be his book and his CD. He lives up in Canada. We had the competition up there. I had a 5-hour drive, and I listened to a CD on the way home, and I said, wow. And then I read his book the next day. I went on a 5-mile run, ran straight to the computer, and wrote the outline saying, I can do this too. And it's that little nudge that I think all of us need, because there's so many people I've talked to that said, boy, I really would love to write a book. And my only thought to them is, then do it. Just put it to paper and let's roll.
You know, this has been a very great, uplifting, motivational talk today, because it really talks about the positive areas of an individual who can overcome many different things, work through those processes and make it happen. So I will say great for you. Congratulations. And again, I would love to keep going forward with this conversation over the next few months, hopefully as you find a job in the next few months, but at least keep that dialogue open. And Tom, I want to thank you for being on the show today. All of the individuals here can be always heard at hrpowerhour.com, and we will have Tom's contact information, email, and yes, a direct link to his site here. So thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we will be right back.